Amen. Well, the title of the message tonight is The Relationship of God's Love. If you're taking notes, you can write that down, The Relationship of God's Love. And if you brought your Bible tonight, go ahead and turn in them with me to John chapter 15. John the 15th chapter. We're going to start reading in verse number 9. If you missed last week, I encourage you on your free time, you got to pop online, www.rock, I think that was too many W's, www.rockchurch.com. You can go to our message archive, go under shift, and I encourage you to hear Pastor Luke's message. It was absolutely wonderful last week, so if you were not able to hear that and you've got some free time, pop on there, check it out, you'll be blessed. John chapter 15, verse number 9, the title of the message again is The Relationship of God's Love. Jesus comes along here in verse number 9, and this is what he says. He says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Now, you could stop right there, man, and we could talk for the rest of the night just about that one little parcel sentence that Jesus said right there. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. What an amazing facet. What a wonderful facet of God's love that, hey, just as God loved Jesus, Jesus also loves you tonight. You may say tonight, you know what, Pastor Joe, how is that possible? Jesus, he was like perfect. He did everything right. He was God in the flesh. How is it that Jesus would love me the same way that God loved him? I just don't understand that. And you know what? You and I, we may never understand it, but I'm here to tell you today, it's a wonderful facet of God's love. If you go two chapters later, you'll find that Jesus actually comes along in the 17th chapter, and he prays for us today, and he says this. He says, God, I pray that they would come to know that you have loved them even as you have loved me. And so we see not only does Jesus love us like God loved him, but also God loves us the same way he loved Jesus. How is that possible? Jesus was perfect. He never did anything wrong. Walked out the will of God perfectly. How is that possible? It's because God's love for you and I is absolutely amazing. Absolutely wonderful. Can I get an amen tonight? Amen. And then he finishes the verse with this four-word commandment. He says, abide in my love. He says, abide in my love. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Now, if you've been with us for any length of time, you'll know that we've talked a lot about abiding the last few weeks, the last few months. It may go on for a few more years. No, I'm just kidding. Wow, I didn't get any laughs over that. You guys are like, no, please. No, I'm just kidding. No. But tonight, you know what? We're going to talk a little bit more about abiding. And I found this definition actually on dictionary.com that I really liked. But dictionary.com defines this word abide as this. All right. So Jesus comes along and says, abide in my love. It defines abide as to continue in a particular condition, to continue in a particular attitude, or to continue in a particular relationship with. Now, that last one is my favorite, to continue in a particular, in a specific relationship with God's love. All right, so if we were to insert that into verse number 9 here, it would read something like this. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Continue in the particular, in the specific relationship with my love. With my love. Continue. I love this. Continue in the relationship. How many of you know tonight that the love of God is a relationship kind of a love? It's a relationship kind of a love. So tonight I want to ask everybody this question, and you can answer it in your heart tonight. If somebody were to come up to you and say, hey, you know what? I need you to define the relationship of God's love. I need you to define the relationship between God's love and a Christian. God's love and you. How would you define it? How would you describe the relationship between God's love and a Christian? If you had to go to a friend and you were sharing with a friend, sharing it with a family member, if you had to go out and a witness and tell somebody about Jesus, how would you describe? Let me say it like this. What story would you tell to portray the relationship of God's love between him and a Christian? The relationship of God's love between him and a person. And the reason why I ask that tonight is because, you know what, Jesus comes along here and he says, abide in my love. And if we don't know what continuing in a specific relationship with his love looks like, how are we going to abide? How are we going to continue in that relationship? You guys follow me today? So how would you define it? How would you describe it? What story would you tell? How would you portray the relationship between God's love and a Christian tonight? Tonight, you know what the bottom line is? You know what? Everybody in here has come from a different background. Everybody in here has had a different upbringing. Everybody in here is probably just about every ethnicity that there is out there. How do I know that? Because I myself am half Puerto Rican, some Italian, some English, and some Irish. So I'm sure that there are other, I guess mutt is not a... is not a nice word. I meant it to be funny. But, all right, so there's tons of different backgrounds, tons of different ethnicities, tons of different upbringings here in the house of God. And you know what? I venture to say this, that not all of us got saved the same way. And what do I mean by that? In other words, some of you may have gotten saved here at the Rock Church. Some of you, maybe a friend was bold enough to lead you to the Lord, a family member. Maybe it was at a Christian concert. I don't know, all right? And so all of us have, God has given each and every one of us a testimony. God has given each and every one of us a story of our own, right? Isn't that right? So tonight, it could be possible that there be also a bazillion different ways to define God's love. A bazillion different ways to describe God's love. For example, somebody could come along, somebody over here could say, you know what, man, God, how would I define God's love, Pastor Joe, and the relationship of God's love? Man, there's this one time I was sick and God healed me. And you know what, absolutely, that is a great picture of God's love towards you. Maybe somebody over here would come along and say, you know what, Pastor Joe, there was a time where I wasn't able to pay my bills. I was going under. My family was, we didn't have any hope, but God came and he made a way and he provided for us. And you know what? That would be a great picture of God's love. And somebody over here may say, you know what, Pastor Joe, God did something absolutely, and he has been doing things absolutely amazing in my life. He's made something of my life. He's done great and mighty things with my life. All right? And that would absolutely also be a wonderful picture of God's love. All of those would be right. But what I find today in Christendom is often the foundation of love that God laid for all of these things to be possible is often overlooked. The foundation of love, and I'll explain what I mean in a minute if I've lost you, because some of you are looking at me like, all right? The foundation of love, while these things are true, God healing you, God providing for you, God doing something great with your life, while those are great pictures of God's love, often the foundation of God's love, the thing that made it possible for all those other things to take place is often forgot about, is often left out, is often left on, in the back burner. And yet I find that God, in laying the foundation of his love, it was the supreme act that he did. Listen, tonight, if you're going to define the relationship of God's love between you and a Christian, tonight you're going to have to understand, and all of us are going to have to be reminded that, you know what, it all started with the supreme act of love. Tonight it all started when God decided to send Jesus Christ to the earth. You know the verse, John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. It's for that very reason that it's possible that somebody was able to be healed in their body. It's for that reason that it was possible that somebody would be able to have their finances taken care of. It's for that reason and that reason alone that somebody would be able to say, you know what, God has done something great with my life. And so again, what I'm trying to say to you tonight is that supreme act of love is often forgotten about, often overlooked, often left on the back burner. This is what I find, and I hope you guys, I hope I haven't lost you guys, because you guys are really quiet tonight. But you know what I find all throughout the Word of God, from the Old Testament to the New, is that God had to deal with this issue called forgetfulness. With the issue called forgetfulness. There's a reference in the Bible, and God comes along to the children of Israel, and he says this. He says, you know what? Beware. Be careful. Be on your guard. Unless you forget, once you have your house all taken care of, once everything is fine and dandy in your life and your kids are growing up fine and you don't think that you have any problems, and now that you've been brought out of captivity, be careful, beware, be on your guard, unless you forget that it was the Lord. That it was the Lord who brought you out of captivity. That it was the Lord who gave you the power to become wealthy. That it was the Lord who made everything possible for what you're experiencing today in your life. I also find, dealing with the issue of forgetfulness, that all throughout the history of the children of Israel, God would over and over again have them build memorials. What is the point of a memorial? To remember. We're going real deep tonight. All right, the purpose of it is to put something in place so that you and I will remember. So that, you know what, after generation had gone by, they could see that memorial and remember. You know what, it was God who delivered my fathers out of the land of Egypt. It was God who gave us the victory in this battle. It was God who came and rebuilt the walls of my city and the walls of my people. It was God. Why? So that people wouldn't forget. So that people wouldn't forget and then eventually turn to other gods. Here's an Old Testament question you guys I'm sure you guys could answer. What is the purpose? Why did God put the rainbow in the sky? To remind us of what? That he would never flood the earth again. That's absolutely correct. So the whole point of the rainbow is not so that we can go outside and take pictures and be like, oh my God, that is so beautiful. But it's to remind you and I that, you know what, he'll never again flood the earth. All throughout the Old Testament. Then you jump into the New Testament and Jesus comes along and he says this. Hey, as often as you drink this cup and as often as you partake of this bread, do this in remembrance of me. Remembrance of me. And so the point being is this, is that, you know what, all throughout the Bible, God has had to deal with this issue of forgetfulness. And what we're talking about tonight is God's love and the supreme act of God's love. And what I find often is that Christians run around and, you know what, absolutely you are supposed to be blessed in life. And I'm not telling you that being blessed in life is a bad thing. Otherwise, I'd be totally contrary to the word of God. But what I am telling you is I find a lot of Christians running around talking about, man, God. I even had somebody come up to me one time and say, you know what, I got saved because I realized God wanted to do great and mighty things with my life. And you know what? I'm glad that person's saved. But you know, that's not the reason why we got saved. And so what has happened? The foundation of his supreme act has been forgotten about. So today, since Jesus says in verse number 9, abide in my love, and we defined it as to continue in the specific relationship of God's love. Today, continuing in the relationship of God's love is to, and we've already said it a little bit tonight, number one, remember his supreme act of love. Listen, guys, tonight, if you're going to continue walking in the relationship, in a relationship with God's love, you are going to have to remember. You are going to have to frequently go back and look over his supreme act of love. Hey, listen, tonight, if you want to, you know, there's a bazillion different ways people out there define love. But if you really want to define love in its absolute perfection, you don't look at the movie Notebook. You don't look at the movie Pride and Prejudice. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. I happen to like that one. you don't look at love songs. You don't look to love stories. If you want to define love in its perfection, it is defined and it is perfectly seen in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It is defined and is perfectly seen in what God did in sending his own son. I'm reminded of a verse that says, scarcely for a righteous man would someone think to die. And maybe for a good man would someone even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were on our way to hell, if I could be so bold tonight. While you and I didn't care, God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross to save us from our sins and to bring us back to him. So we already asked the question, how would you define God's love? And tonight I just want to read to you a few verses from some songs of some different people who wrote these songs. And really what I see them doing is I see them defining the love of God and defining it really the way the Bible would have us to define it. So the first singer wrote these words as part of his song. He says, an angel stood with flaming sword at the Garden of Eden's darkened gate. The frightened family, Adam and Eve, now faced a world filled with Satan's hate. These fallen children God so loved were lost in fear alone. But love would spare no cost to bring them home. Love found a way. When we were without hope, love found a way. And today, every heart can hold the price that love chose to pay. Today, we are free because love found a way. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I am free at last. Why? Because love found a way. Another man once wrote this. He said, down from his glory, it's the ever-living story. My God and my Savior came, and Jesus was his name. Born in a manger, to his own, his created, he was a stranger. A man of sorrows, tears, and acquainted with grief. This great creator became my Savior. What condescension he had, bringing us redemption. God's gracious tender laid aside his splendor. Listen tonight, you've got to get a picture tonight of what Jesus did. He left his heavenly home to come rescue us out of the mess that this world was in. The Bible says that we were without hope, without God and without hope in this world. But God's gracious tender laid aside his splendor. And he finishes the song by saying, he stooped to woo, to win, and to save my soul. He stooped to woo. He stooped to win. How many things woo us and how many things win us over today? But God stooped to woo, to win, and to save our soul. One last one. A man wrote this. He said, I think I got it wrong here on my notes. But he says, was it for crimes that I had done that he hung upon a tree? What amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond decree. And so tonight, what am I trying to do? Tonight, I'm trying to paint a picture for you of the supreme act that God did by sending Jesus Christ. And it's because of that supreme act of love that today we are given right. We are given an open door to partake of the promises of God, healing, our finances, God doing something great with our life, finding a husband, finding a wife. So today, you and I cannot forget the supreme act of God's love, the foundation that made it all possible. And today, since we're talking about continuing in the relationship of God's love, today we're going to have to remember his supreme act. And in remembering his supreme act, our hearts will be placed in the right position to continue on in the things of God. Listen, today, if you're having a hard time, if you're having a hard time in your walk with God, you don't know what to do, you don't know where to go, you feel like you can't hear the voice of God, I encourage you tonight to rehearse, to go back over, to remember his supreme act of love for you. And upon remembering, and upon seeing, and upon viewing, and upon looking it over again, your heart and your life will be moved back into the position to hear God's voice. We'll be moved back into the position to be everything that God's called you to be. Is it tonight, if you don't feel like you're shaping up the way that you ought to be shaping up, I'm here to tell you today, rehearse and go back through your word and look at God's love for you and how he sent Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ went all the way to that cross, a beaten, bloody mess. And so tonight, continuing in the relationship of God's love is to, number one, remember his supreme act. And in fact, you know what? I don't want to skip this verse, so it's Ephesians chapter 2. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you real quick. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse number 1, but this is what the Bible says. It says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, or fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, or children deserving to have God's wrath poured out upon us. He says, just as the others, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. By grace, you have been saved. And so the picture that God paints for you and I is, it says, hey, remember how you were lost in darkness? Remember how you were stuck in your sin? Remember how you were bound up? How the Bible says how you were actually a child of your father, the devil? But now, because of God's great love, you've been moved out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light. Because of God's great love, now you have freedom from sin, like we sang tonight. Sin is broken. Now, because of God's great love, you've been moved and from the devil being your father to God being your father tonight. And so today, continuing in the relationship of God's love is to remember his supreme act. Today, number two, continuing in the relationship of God's love is to surrender to his lordship. It is to surrender to his lordship. Turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. If we're going to abide in the love of God, if we're going to continue in God's love, it is to surrender to his lordship. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll start reading in verse number 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 24. It says this, Jesus himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. Question, is that not a picture of God's supreme act of love? Is that not a picture of God's love for you and I? Look at it again. Jesus himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Question, is that not a picture of the love of God toward our lives? All right? Now watch what the next verse says. It says, for you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So in other words, the direct result from God's love coming to us was that, you know what? We were once like sheep going astray, but now we have returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. The direct result for us receiving God's love was, let me put it like this, so we could leave behind doing things our way and go God's way. The direct result, the thing that should happen, the change that should happen in a person's life when they receive God's love is, hey, I quit doing things my way. My way, my way. And I went and now I'm doing things God's way. Look at it again. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Jesus himself bore our sins in his own body, the picture of love, on the tree that we might, on the tree that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. For you were like sheep going astray. All right, Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Let's see if we can paint this picture a little bit better. Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 4. Isaiah 53, verse number 4, it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Question, is that not a picture of God's supreme act of love? Is it not a picture of God's love? Now watch what he says in verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So when it comes to continuing in the relationship, in a relationship with God's love tonight, when it comes to continuing and abiding and remaining in God's love, you know what? You're going to have to remain in the position where Jesus is Lord. Tonight, young adults, you're going to have to remain in the position and in the place where, you know what? I am not doing things my way. This is not about me. I am doing things now God's way. Hey, listen, if you're going to continue walking in a relationship with God's love, you have got to stop deciding for yourself what is best for your life. You have to stop deciding for yourself what's best for your life. Today, too, today all the more, and what a shame it is, all the more we have Christians today becoming more and more independent from God versus being dependent upon him. What happens when you become independent from God? You are doing things your own way. You are living life based on what you determine is good and what you determine is bad. Reminds me of Adam and Eve. Garden of Garden of Eden, and Eve. Sorry, got them all mixed up. But you and I, we have to live a life where we continue to do things God's way and stop doing things our way. Listen, tonight, you can't decide for yourself what's the best way to be a father. Tonight, you can't decide for yourself what's the best way to be a husband. Tonight, you can't be the one who determines the best way to be a mother, the best way to be a wife, the best way to be a son or a daughter. Tonight, you can't decide for yourself what's the best way to be an employee on your job. Tonight, you're going to have to surrender from doing things your way and do them God's way. You want to know how people decide what's a good employee? I've been working now for gosh, I don't know, 12, 14 years. I know how people decide what is good work and what is not. They work when the boss is looking. And when he's not looking, they're not working. What is that? That's living life based on what you think is okay. What you have deemed good, what you have deemed bad, what you have justified, and what you have not. So today, if we're going to continue in this relationship of God's love, you and I are going to have to continue to be surrendered to his lordship. All the more today, we have Christians who listen to music they shouldn't be listening to. All right, everybody in here can sing a secular song. All right, everybody in here has some secular CDs. That's not what I'm bashing on. But there is music that you know you shouldn't have, but you have it anyway. And you're listening to it anyway. Why? Because you've decided for yourself what's good for your life. Hey, listen, there are movies today that Christians ought not to go see. And I'm not just talking about sexually promiscuous movies. You know, now more than ever, when I was growing up, horror movies came out during October, during Halloween. Now they have them like all year round. It's like New Year's Day, a horror movie. It's like, this makes no sense, you know? Springtime horror movie! Time to go to the beach, horror movie! You know, I don't know. Listen, there's movies that you ought not to open your ears to. You should not let through your eye gate. You need to stop deciding for yourself what is okay for yourself. A Christian should never go see Drag Me to Hell. I'm just saying, Christians shouldn't be watching movies like that. And of course, the list goes on of the different movies. Hey, listen. If we're going to continue in God's love, you and I have got to make sure we live a life of being retiring from our way and going his way. Today, Christians shouldn't be dating unbelievers. Today, Christians shouldn't be marrying unbelievers. But I love him and he loved me. What is that? That's deciding for yourself what is best for yourself. So today, in every area of our lives, you know what? You and I are going to have to live lives where we remain surrendered to God's lordship, to the lordship of Jesus Christ, because we just saw how all of a sudden God's love came, and the direct result that was supposed to take place in a person's life was, hey, I'm not like a sheep anymore going astray, but I've now returned to the shepherd and overseer of my soul. I've got to do things God's way. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 9 and 10. Boy, I hope more people brought their Bibles than I hear turning. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. This is how a Christian remains under the lordship of Jesus Christ. It says this: for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, all right, he's talking about since the day he heard of the Colossians' faith, all right, since the day he heard that they had gotten saved. So let's read it again. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of your faith, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Watch what it says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Hey, listen, tonight, if you're going to remain under the lordship of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to seek out what is pleasing to the Lord. Is what I'm doing pleasing to God? Is what I'm about to do going to please God? Is what I'm about to say going to please God? Is what I'm thinking about right now pleasing to the Lord? Or am I living a life unsurrendered? Am I living a life doing things the way I think that they should be done? You know, the reason why so many people, and you know what, I'm not trying to get down on anybody tonight, but you know what, the reason why so many people have so much bitterness on the inside is because, you know what, they've said to them, they've justified why they are not going to forgive another person. Well, they hurt me, and they shouldn't have done it, and they knew better, and this was ugly, and you can't believe what they did to me. And so what happens is we don't forgive. Bitterness takes place in our hearts and our lives. Why? Because we've decided for ourselves what is best for ourselves. I'm not going to do what the Bible says and forgive. It was too ugly. It was too nasty. It was wrong. They knew better. So on and so forth. And we justify why we don't have to forgive. What is that? That's a picture of not surrendering and doing things God's way. So today, if we're going to continue in the relationship of God's love, you and I are going to have to remain surrendered to his lordship. Tonight, you can ask yourself as you leave, is what I'm about to do pleasing to God? Is what I'm about to say pleasing to the Lord? Is what I'm thinking about pleasing to the Lord? Today, our last point, talking about continuing in the relationship of God's love, because Jesus said we are to abide in his love, and we defined it like that, to continue in the relationship of God's love. It is to, number three tonight, love one another. It is to love one another. Go back with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, let's look at verse number 12. John chapter 15, verse number 12. It says this, "This is my suggestion, that you love one another as I have loved you." I'm sorry, guys. I was reading the wrong part. "This is my good idea, that you love one another as I have loved you." "This is my opinion, that you love one another as I have loved you." No, he says, "This is my commandment. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Pastor Luke did an absolutely beautiful job of saying, hey, you know what? If you're going to love people, you're going to have to love as he loves, not as you deem fit or right, or what you define. That you're going to have to love as he loved. All right, so if we're going to continue in the relationship of God's love, that means we're going to have to love one another. We're going to have to take the love that God has given us and God has shed abroad in our heart, as the Bible says, and we're going to have to then turn to our neighbor, turn to the people around us, turn to our family, our friends, the people on our job, and we're going to have to love one another. You know, actually, it's one of my pet peeves, I could say, when Christians are just, they don't love one another. If anybody should love the person next to them, it should be a Christian. It should be a person who names the name of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who's walking in love toward the people around them. Because this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, all I want to do tonight is I just want to turn to one more verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's a familiar verse. Everybody knows it. Most of us can quote parts of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Remember, we're talking about abiding in God's love. We're talking about remaining, continuing in the relationship, in a relationship with God's love. Today, I want the Bible to define what love is. And as it defines what love is, I want you to examine your life and say, you know what, am I loving those around me this way? Am I continuing in the relationship, in a relationship with God's love, the way the Bible says that we are to walk in love? Chapter number 13, verse number 1. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal." Now, I don't know about you tonight, but I don't know any preachers talking what we talk here on earth and talking what the angels talk in heaven, all right? But he says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal," all right? So basically, it doesn't matter. "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." Verse number 3, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor," we see that all the time on reality TV, building people new homes, helping people do this, helping people that. "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned," I'm giving it for a cause. I'm laying my life down. All right, "I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." It profits me nothing. All right, Pastor Joe, what's the point? Here in these first three verses, you know what the Bible's saying? It doesn't matter what your gifts are. It doesn't matter what your abilities are. It doesn't matter what your accomplishments are. It doesn't matter what titles you have before your name. It doesn't matter what titles you have after your name. It doesn't matter how long you've been around, how long you've been a Christian. Because all of those things will be rendered ineffective if you don't love. If you don't love. For example, have you ever had somebody try to speak into your life who just got done treating you like trash the week before, the month before? These people, they do not walk in love. And yet here they come along and they want to speak into your life and they want to help you out. And what does it do? It taints the whole thing. Their ability, their gift, their word to you is rendered ineffective because there is no love. Today, you know what? If you want to render ineffective your position as a father, don't walk in love. You want to render your position as a husband toward your wife ineffective? Don't walk in love. Wives, you want to render your position, your abilities, your God-given anointing to be a mother and to be a wife? Don't walk in love. Choose and decide for yourself what is best for yourself and how you're going to answer your husband and how you're going to tell him what you think he need to be told. Listen, today, if you want to render your gifts and the talents and the things that God has placed in your life, if you want to make them ineffective, if you want to turn them into a clanging cymbal, a sounding brass, if you want to turn it into nothing, if you want the things that God has placed in your life to profit you nothing, hey, don't walk in love, and they will. All right, let's read on. Verse number 4, I like what the King James says. It says, love suffers long, because too many of us know that as love is patient. And when, you know what, when our patience runs out, we're like, that's it! All right? But it comes and it gives us, it lets us know what it's talking about. It says, love suffers long. We're talking about loving one another. Love suffers long. How long suffering are you tonight? Love is kind. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Love is not selfish. It is not provoked, or in other words, it's not easily angered. Love thinks no evil. Doesn't think evil of people. Why did she say that? I know why she said it. Let me tell you. I know why they did it. Let me tell you. Love thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity. Does not rejoice when somebody falls into sin, when somebody's in a mess, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love endures all things. And then finally in verse number 8, love never fails. Or in other words, love never gives up, caves in, and quits. Love keeps on loving. Love never fails. Tonight, if we're going to continue in a relationship with God's love, you and I are going to have to love one another. And not love one another the way we think somebody should be loved. Not love one another the way the world loves. You know how the world loves? You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. But if you stab my back, in fact, I said the same exact thing to the youth, and somebody interrupted me and said, I'm going to shake yours. We're talking like 14 years old. I'm like, dang, that's how the world loves. We're going to have to love one another the way God says to love. Today, if you and I are going to continue, if we're going to abide in God's love, the way God would have us to continue in the relationship, in a relationship with God's love, today we're going to have to, number one, remember his supreme act of love. you're going to have to remember where you came from. When you got everything going on and everything's good and everything's the bomb diggity, you need to remember. All right? Remember his supreme act of love. Number two, today you're going to have to remain surrendered to his lordship. And finally, number three, today you're going to have to love one another. If you got something good from God's word tonight, go ahead and give him a great big praise.